Gareth for leading us in our worship this evening, and we now come to continue our worship as we sit under the authority of God's Word. As Gareth said when he was leading us, he reminded us of the fact that this morning I said that I want us during this week of prayer to have, as it were, a mini series looking at a few texts found in these two letters to the Corinthians and putting it into the context of where are we, where are we going, and how are we going to get there. This morning we were looking at our starting point, and we were looking at what Paul experienced when he was at Corinth. He had come from Athens, where he had been overwhelmed by the philosophy of this world. He came to Corinth, and as was his practice, he went to worship with his own people, the Jews. But he found them entrapped by traditionalism, and then he was overwhelmed by the immorality of the world around him. And these three things crushed him and affected the approach that he had to life. But he said, when I saw these three things, I decided to know nothing amongst you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. That is where the Christian life begins. It can begin nowhere else other than in faith in the crucified Saviour, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But so often, that is where we stay, isn't it? We emphasise the fact that we have become Christians by faith in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been converted, I've been saved, I've asked the Lord into my heart. That is all that is necessary. Friends, that is a starting point. That is where we begin as Christians. The Christian life is a life. And there are implications to a life. This morning, we had all those children in front of us, didn't we, in the children's talk. And I'm beginning to be amazed by how rapidly some of them seem to be growing. I'm sure there must be a real problem to their parents as they have to find new clothes. And as they get into the teenage years, they have to keep feeding them. But that's life, isn't it? If we were to keep our children as those cuddly little bundles that disturb us every 3 or 4 hours every night, we would know that there were problems. If there is life, there has got to be growth. And we as Christians have to grow. How are we going to grow? What is going to be the source of our growth? This morning, I spoke about the only foundation of the Christian life. Tonight, I want to speak about the only source of growth. The Christian life is more than that initial declaration of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must not make the mistake of thinking that the only thing that Christ has done for us is to justify us. Praise God, he has justified us, but he has done so much more, and he is doing so much more. If we simply emphasize the doctrine of justification by faith, as important as that is, we are narrow-minded and we are misguided. It will produce deformed Christians. Gareth was intimating that people have got to that point in the year when they start making resolutions. Now, whether we make resolutions or not, many of you will be like me, having got on the scales this morning. We thought, where on earth has that weight come from? And we have got to get rid of it. But diets can be dangerous, can't they? And I've known people to suffer horribly because of a wrong diet. They've ended up in hospital. You get folk suffering from anorexia. You get others suffering the effects of binge eating and bulimia. I have friends, mature adults, who have become ill because they have cut out a particular food group. I'm not going to give you a biology lesson this morning, but for a healthy diet, our diet has to consist in certain basic food groups, doesn't it? Proteins, carbohydrates, fat, minerals, vitamins, water, and fiber. Each of these is necessary for growth, for repair or healing of the body, for energy, for a healthy blood supply, for healthy bones, and also for a healthy nervous system. Where one is indulged, the body becomes deformed, doesn't it? Where one is neglected, the body will become weak and vulnerable, and we will become easily sick. It is exactly the same in the Christian life. Many people, rightly so, emphasize gospel preaching. And people will often say to me, oh, Bernard, you are going to preach the gospel in that context. And what they want is me to address the sinner and to say you need to be converted. It's vital that we do that. And in this message tonight, I have to say to you, if you haven't begun at the right place, if you haven't started by coming to the Lord Jesus at the cross, then you are not a Christian. But the Christian life is not just a beginning. It is a growth. It is a process. And we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as much today as we did that day, that night, that morning, whenever it was that we came to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never forget that we have to grow and that we have to go back to the source of life. What is the source of life? And sorry, I should have said this to you earlier. In our reading this evening, Gareth read from 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. And there he says this, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. He has listed the sins that were evident in the church at Corinth. But he says, this is what you were like. But he then says that as Christians, they have experienced three processes, if you like, or they have been through three works of God in their lives. Washed, sanctified, justified. Similarly, he mentions the sources from which these works flow. Who is it that has done this work in our lives? In effect, he mentions two persons of the Godhead. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. We are washed. by the Godhead. And I would want to argue that while he specifically names God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, he is also thinking of God in Trinity. When he concludes his second letter, he uses that benediction, doesn't he, that we use so often. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Friends, we are saved by God in Trinity. God the Father planned it. God the Son accomplished it. God the Holy Spirit applies it. But we grow in fellowship with God in Trinity. Each one of them has a place in the way that we grow. So I want to look now at these three benefits, what I've described as three benefits of grace. Three things that we can say have been done to us as Christians by the Lord and by God in Trinity. And these three benefits are what help us to grow in the Christian life. In fact, I would go further than that. These three benefits are what cause us to grow. It isn't simply that they help us. They are the cause. Now, I want to use two illustrations. And they're inadequate, as all illustrations are. But they will show you a little of what is contained in these three ministries. The first one is to describe a Christian as a person who has fallen into the mud of sin, the mud of opposing God. How does that person become presentable? How do they deal with the problem? First of all, he or she has to be picked up and be put back on their feet. That is justification. It's as if we've never fallen into the mud. God picks us up. But God doesn't simply pick us up and say, the fall didn't take place. What does he do? Well, the mud and the muddy clothing has to be removed. And that's where we have this picture of being washed. The sin that has stained our lives has to be removed. But there is a third thing that is a part of this illustration. The soiled clothing has to be replaced by clean clothing. And that's where sanctification comes in. God has taken the mud of our lives, the sin, and he's placed it on Christ. He's taken it off us, and he's placed it on Christ. But he has taken the righteousness of Christ, and he has placed it on us. The filth of our lives has been given to him, and we have received the righteousness that is Christ's. And God sees us tonight in Christ Jesus. What a glorious fact. But I want to use another illustration. A crime has been committed. The law has been broken. And this, in a way, is closer to the idea of justification. The criminal is guilty before God. The word of God says to you and I tonight, there is none righteous, no, not one. But the gospel says to us, the criminal has had his sentence paid by another. And because the sentence has been paid, the criminal is no longer guilty before the law. The record has been wiped clean. And that is the idea behind this word justified. But you can change the record books, but can you change a man's heart? Can you change how we feel inside? And that is where we come to this word washed. The conscience has to be dealt with. The record has to be removed. And this is a part of the gospel, that God removes from us the memory that so often condemns us. There will be times, and that memory will come up, and it will feel as though it's crushing us. We failed our God in this way. But the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Troubled conscience. It's erased. It's washed. But Christianity is not come to Jesus and do what you want. It is said that St. Augustine said, love the Lord and live as you want. Well, if you love the Lord, you will keep his commandments. And that is what is behind this word sanctification. When we become Christians, we want to live in a way that pleases our God. We want to become the royalty that we are. Because Scripture tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you understand that? Do you appreciate it? That you are a fellow heir with Christ. We've just been through the New Year's Honours list, haven't we? I didn't know too many people there, but many of us will know Penelope Keith and what the award that she was given, and the snob that she played when she was in The Good Life. But, in a way, she now doesn't have to pretend that she's a snob. I hope she's not a snob. But she has got the title which says, Penelope, at one stage you were nothing, but now you are a dame. You have been transferred from nothing to a position of honour within our society. Friends, tonight, if you're a Christian, you haven't been transferred to a position of honour within this world. You have been transferred to a position of honour within eternity, within the accounts of God. Friends, I know that both of those illustrations are inadequate, but both of them show that the problem has to be recognized. It has to be put right at the beginning. And then there has to be this two-sided process, taking off the problems and putting on the blessings, removing the sin which is so much a part of our lives and giving to us a desire to live more like Christ. We are to constantly deal with the damage that has been done by sin. There aren't many things in life that once they have been bent or crumpled, you can actually straighten out. Once you've screwed up a fiver in your pocket, I've heard about people ironing their fivers, but you don't get rid of the creases. And it's like that. And I'm sure many of us really regret what we were before we became Christians, and even what we have been since we are Christians. But we've got to ask God to help us take off and to put on. I remember once hearing a Christian described as a person under new management. If you're an unbeliever here tonight, you know who the manager is in your life? You. Do you know who's responsible for your sin? You are. Do you know who will have to give an account before God? You will. But for the Christian, this is not irresponsible, and it's not, oh, just live as you want to, but for the Christian, that responsibility has been taken by another, by God. Not just by the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we were emphasizing that Paul preached Christ and him crucified. But the gospel is not just the cross. The gospel is God in Trinity. And God in Trinity is working in our lives to prepare us for eternity. The Christian, as everybody else in this world, is a damaged person. But there is a way in which the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. That's stated clearly in John's first letter. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But, friends, if we are honest, we all know what it is to struggle with ongoing sin. I'm prepared to say here this evening that if there's a sin that we know about in the world, I can guarantee that it is part of the Christian world as well. I haven't read it. Gareth read it. But he read about all the sins that Paul mentioned in the church there in Corinth. Sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, thievery, greed, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. And Paul says, that's what some of you were. But if I was to say tonight, within our society, you go out onto the streets of Newport, and you will find addiction, you will find perversion, you will find immorality, you will find pride, greed, etc., etc., etc. But how many of us are prepared to put up our hands and say, that's what I was before I became a Christian. And I don't want to shout about it, but I still struggle with it. But that's what Paul is doing here. I remember hearing Sinclair Ferguson preach a few years ago. And he said, what do we have to do with sin? We have to name it and shame it. Why do we struggle with admitting our sin? It's because of pride, the worst of sins. We don't want to have to admit where we have gone wrong. Friends, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that we should placard our sin. I find it difficult when people give testimony and they've spoken for 20 minutes and 18 minutes of that is what I was before I became a Christian. And 2 minutes is about what I've become as a Christian. But friends, if we were to be more like Paul was in Corinth and prepared to admit that we struggle, we would be able to help one another and we would more willingly come to the Lord for help. We are damaged people, all of us. But the Christian is also in a restoration process. I've made a lot about sin tonight. But believe it or not, each and every one of you, and me, was created in the image of God. You might look around and say, you can't be serious, Bernard. Yes, I am serious. God created all of us in the image of God. But that image has been damaged. So just as we have to go to the cross and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the damage that has come from sin, so we have to go to the cross, and in particular, to the Holy Spirit, and we have to say to him, Blessed Holy Spirit, would you please help me to become more like God wanted me to be originally, which was in his image. Would you please help me so that that image might be restored in me? Please take me to that place where God is seen more fully in me and in other people. Paul uses the image in Ephesians, doesn't he, of clothing. We are to put off our old self, and we are to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Where are we? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? Well, we have to do it under new management. Accept that God has justified us as Christians. Accept that the blood of Jesus Christ washed us from our past sins and washes us even today. But he is also sanctifying us. He's making us holy. He is making us more like God. This past week, I was over in the hospital and I spoke to a member of staff, and it was obvious that she wasn't from Newport, the way she spoke. She spoke frightfully well. And I said to her, you're not from Newport. It's not a Newport accent, is it? She said, no, I'm from Zimbabwe. And she said, people don't normally mention my accent, but a few people have mentioned it this week. And she said, I think it's because I've been home for Christmas. What had happened? She'd been to where the accent was stronger, and she had become more like her family, more like the people of that place. This happens, friends, with us as Christians. If we spend a lot of time in the world, we will become more like the world. But if we spend more time with our Lord Jesus Christ, if we spend more time with the Holy Spirit, we'll start to talk like them. We'll start to act like them. And this is where I want to come now. I've shown you the three benefits of grace. We've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been justified. I now want to show you the three servers of sinners. This is a strange title, Bernard. God in Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in a way, serve us as saved sinners. How do we become more like God? Well, our verse tells us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Interestingly, in the original, in and by are exactly the same word. So there's a way in which this second part of verse 11 could be translated in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. What is the point that is being made here? Paul is saying this doesn't happen in a classroom. It doesn't happen in a lecture. It happens in relationship. In a relationship with our God. The God who throughout history has prepared to repair the damage caused by the sin of Adam, of which we are all victims, but also of which we are all perpetrators. He, God in Trinity, wants to spend time with us in order that we might be made more like him. Friends, do not think tonight that this message is for those out there. It is for us in here. It has to begin here. Jeremiah writes, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, or as the AV says, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We have to spend time with our God. We have to be in him. And he has to be in us. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price of our sin on the cross. But the day that we were converted began a process that will continue until we reach glory. Or the day that we die. Because we will reach glory by two ways, either our own death or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was able to be honest with his readers in Corinth and to point out their sins and to remind them of their sins. Why? Because they had not hidden the fact of what they were before they became Christians. And they knew what Christ had done for them. Friends, what has Christ done for us? What's he done for you? What's he done for me? We can say he has washed us from our sins. But he's also given to us the Holy Spirit. When we come to communion tonight, I'm going to read about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because Christ had taken responsibility, these people in Corinth no longer carried the burden of their sin. They had given it to the Lord Jesus Christ. They maintained a relationship with Christ by going back to the cross, but they maintained a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to show us our sin. Not to condemn us, but to show us that it's hampering us. To show us that it will drag us down. To show us that it will hold us back. But the Holy Spirit leads us to the cross. And he says, the price has been paid. He leads us to Pentecost. And he says, men who have failed, men who have denied Christ, can be filled with the Holy Spirit and they can become the greatest witnesses. He will lead us to John 9. And he will say, men who were born blind may not have all the answers. But when they are challenged, they can say, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was like this, but now by the grace of God, I have been set free. And I am being prepared for heaven. Friends, how do we get there? How do we move on? We move on by believing the truth of what we have been promised. John 14 tells us that the Lord himself will come and live amongst us. The Father will come and make their dwelling within our hearts. We're to believe what Paul writes in Philippians 2. It is God who lives in you and who works in you both to will and to do what God wants you to do. Friends, if we are to grow as Christians, preparing for heaven and serving him while we are here on earth, it is vital that each of us and together we maintain a relationship with the one God in three persons. In 2014, as a church and individuals, we need to make sure that each day we develop our relationship with God. Private and corporate prayer is non-negotiable. This week of prayer is not simply for the elders. It's not simply for the deacons. It is for all of us. Because Emmanuel Evangelical Church can become a mere statistic if we rely upon ourselves. But if we come and we seek the power of our God and the help of our God, he is able to take the weakest of human beings and to use us for his glory. I beg of you, I beseech you, try to make this week of prayer a priority. Join with us. That is my first encouragement. But my second encouragement is, if you cannot join with us, then set time aside. Because we will only enjoy the benefits of grace as we enjoy what we have together in Christ Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Tomorrow evening, God willing, I want us to look at the only motivation. And the motivation for our lives is found in 1 Corinthians 9:16. And if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. But that's tomorrow. But it is Paul's relationship with God which drives him to do God's will in his life. Tonight, may God help us to use the resources that he has given to us, not in a power, but in himself. Before we come to the Lord's table,